Perek Yud in Divrei Yom Beis. Vayilach Rechavim Shechema. Okay, so this is what happened. We have Rechavim. After Shlomo Melech had passed away, Rechavim becomes king. So Rechavim went to the city of Shechem. Ki Shechem bo kol Yisrael l'ham l'choso. Shechem is where everybody came to Bnei Yisrael, from Bnei Yisrael, in order to make him king. Now remember, Shechem was not a Yehuda city. This is a city that belonged to Shevet the Yisraelim. In other words, Ephraim and Manasseh. This was not specifically a place for Yehuda itself. He went there because they assumed, and rightfully so, that he was going to be the king over all of Israel. When Yerovam ben Nevat heard about this, he heard about Rechavim. Now he was living in Egypt at the time. He had fled there because of Shlomo the king. Yerovam then returned from Egypt itself. Now why did Yerovam run away? Yerovam ben Nevat. Who was Nevat? Nevat was a man by the name of Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri started a massive rebellion toward the end of David HaMelech's life, after everything that happened with Avshalom. After Avshalom had happened, Sheva ben Bichri tried to get in there and say, no, I am going to be in charge now. Tried to take down David HaMelech after the failed rebellion of Avshalom. And unfortunately, obviously for him, it didn't work out. That's the famous story where he was stuck inside and Sarach Bas Asher was sent a message by Yoav, send out that one man or we'll destroy the entire city. And Sarach Paskin, you can send out one man in order to save the entire city, right? So that was what happened over there. Yerovam ben Nevat immediately ran away, afraid that Shlomo Melech was going to take him down because he was very vociferous, he was very, very loud against David Melech and against Shlomo Melech. He now came back from Mitzrayim when Rechavim came in. So the people sent to him, they had summoned him. So he came in, this is what happened, Yerovam came in with all of Bnei Yisrael, and what happened was, says the Malbim, is that they wanted to secede from the kingdom. Yerovam said to Bnei Yisrael, when he came to Bnei Yisrael, he said, it's not good for us to just secede like that. Let's see what Rechavim's like as a person. Maybe Rechavim's something that we can talk to. Shlomo Melech we couldn't talk to. David Melech we got nothing out of. But Rechavim, maybe there's something there. When they spoke to Rechavim, they said, Avicha hikshas uleinu. Your father made it really difficult for us. Try to take away the taxes that we have right now. And from his heavy burden that he gave us. We have huge taxes, he said, because Shlomo Melech was a very wealthy king who had lots and lots of wives and palaces and everything else to take care of, aside from the Beis HaMikdash. So even though we're all wealthy and we're all very, very rich, it was a crazy amount of taxes. If you lighten the load, we'll serve you. We're willing to be on your side. And Yerovam ben Nevat said, I'm willing to be on your side. I'm willing to be together with you, but you have to be together with the people. If you're willing to work for the people, then we have something to talk about. Yomar Lam, and he said to them, come back to me in 3 days. Let me think about it. And the people went away. Now, in the very, very beginning, obviously, this is difficult for anybody, let alone Rechavim. Rechavim is an old man. He's 41 years old. He should have known better. But it's difficult for anybody to make this type of decision. Taking down taxes means...
He's 41 years old. I mean, his father had him when he was 11?
12. Yeah. Yeah. A very, very, very interesting and strange.
And also,
but yeah.
wasn't he was the son of Naamah. Naamah became Shlomo's wife much later.
We don't know that. There's no mention of when Naamah Ammonius came into Klal Yisrael. Yeah, we have no official mention of that. But yes, it is extremely strange that he got there. We'll see it later on. It says it straight out in the Pasuk. So either way, but he's 41 years old. He should have known better. But he's sitting there and he's like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that I should say. Now, Shlomo Melech obviously had some issues toward the end with what happened with his wives, going back to Mitzrayim for horses, the accumulation of wealth that he had in his system that he wasn't supposed to have before. And there were obvious issues that were over there. There were heavy taxes toward the end of his reign that was right over there. I guess it's strange because the people saw that there were benefits to having Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech, he had made everybody else subservient to the kingdom of Jews at the time. It is a little bit strange, but regardless, they asked a settlement, some type of settlement, some way of forcing the tax to go through, and Rechavim made a very massive tactical error here. When you start off becoming a king, I don't know if this is true regarding a president or a prime minister, but I have a feeling it is true by them as well. You cannot start your reign with an indecisiveness, with an indecision. And try to say to yourself, you know what, we'll try to figure out what to do from here on in. Let me think about it for a little bit. You have to have your decisions made from the beginning. You knew that they were going to ask you to lower the taxes. So you have to think about that before you get in. Say to yourself, what am I going to do if something like this happens? And you have to have your advisors right there. To sit there and say, I need 3 days to think about it, makes you look wishy-washy. And right there, he was taken down in the eyes of the people. And he gave also the opposition to organize themselves against him. Over the next 3 days, what do you think Yerovam was doing. Yerovam was going around to the people, asking them what they want, what they want to hear, so that he would eventually be able to stage his own coup and be able to make his own kingdom. It was a huge tactical error on this part. The people left. So first the king Rechavam went to the Zekanim, which he should do, went to the elders, they used to stand in front of Shlomo's father, right, when they were still alive, and he said the following, how do you advise me right now? What do you think I should do in this situation? If you're good to this people and you appease them, and you speak to them during good words, then I promise you, they will be your slaves for the rest of time. You will have no problems with them. If you're willing to go with them for right now and lower their taxes for now, you'll be able to raise it in the future. That's what's going to happen. But then he left the eights of the Zekanim that advised him. And he spoke together with the Yeladim. Now, once again, these are not kids, because Rechavam wasn't a kid. They're people that he grew up with that were spoiled brats like himself, right, that had grown up in massive, massive wealth and were only thinking about themselves and were more, you know, we'll call them millennials, right? And they were thinking about that type of thing and they were sitting there and they couldn't think about anybody else now. So what happened? He spoke to them, Asher Gid Luito, they grew up with him, Ma'omdin Lefana, Ba'yomra Lehem, Ma'atem Noatem, what do you guys think? Venashiv Davaras Amazah, what do you think I should tell back to these people? Asher Dibra Lehem, or Akilmina Ola, Asher Nelson Avicha Aleinu, that we should lighten the load that your father gave upon us. What do you think I should say? Vidabri Toy Ladam Asher Gad Luito Lehem, or Koyisamala Om, here's what you got to tell the people over here. Here's what you should tell them. Asher Dibra Lech Lehem, or Avicha, Hikbir Zulenev, Atol Kiyomel Aleinu, your father made it heavy for us, you should lighten our load. Kotam Arlem, here's what you say to them. Ketani Avami Masne Avi, my little finger is thicker than the thickest loins of my father. Meaning, I am much heavier, much worse, and much stronger than my father. Rechavam, you looked weak. Make yourself seem strong, or else these people are going to walk all over you. You're never going to be able to get the respect. You're never going to be able to. You already told them, you know, maybe before. Now you got to step all over them and say, absolutely not. The Gemara in Megillah says that when young men tell you to build and old men are telling you to destroy, always listen to the elders. Because the stira, the destruction of the elders, is really a binyan. And the binyan of Yeladim is really a stira. It really knocks everything down. It's the exact opposite of what you'd assume and what you'd figure from all this. That's what happens over here. When they were telling him,
says this, I mean, it's the figure of speech is obvious. They're saying that, you know, oh, you thought my father was powerful. Wait till you see me.
Yeah.
But do you think that on any level, on like a shot level, it's an actual dig to Shlomo's virility?
I think so, yeah. I think so, definitely. There was an issue that Shlomo Melech had at the end of his life with his wives, with his money, with the horses, and I think that was exacerbated.
But also, I think, but it could also be the amount of, at least the amount of children that's written in Tanakh.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. In other words, like, look how many people he was together with, right? I think it definitely was. Now, Rechavam does have 18 wives, which is
Kealacha.
Right, that's Kealacha. That's what the most you can have, but at least that's there. It's a strange thing, but definitely seems that was, it could have been
but
a very
again,
big dig.
I mean, let's say he had a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. Would the Tanakh actually sit there and, you know, tell us all 6,000 kids that he had? Like,
no.
Right.
No, so, for sure not. But at least it's something. My father, he gave you a heavy yoke. He put upon you a heavy yoke. Right? I'm going to add on to it. My father, he chastised you with little sticks. I'm going to use scorpions. I'm going to hit you in a much, much worse way. The line over here, and the reason why he's saying it this way, like, I'm going to treat you like animals over here. I'm going to give you like sticks. I'm going to whip you guys as if you're my horse that I'm going around over here. He's denying the Abar Ben El says, the humanity of the people that are around him. And the reason, again, why he's doing it is because the children were saying, you have to look strong in their eyes or else they're going to walk all over you. It was the wrong tactic because Yeravam was waiting for this. Yeravam was waiting in line, waiting in ambush, waiting for him to say something dumb. And as soon as he did, he was going to pounce. And that's exactly what happened. Yeravam and all the people came to Rechavam on the third day, Kasher Dibra Melech Lehmor, and the day that the king said, Shuvu Elav Yom HaShlishi, come back to me on the third day. And he answered them very harshly. He did not do the eights of the Zekanim. And the king would not listen to the people. It seems that after that was over, he told them this harsh lesson. The people are like, okay, he's just acting like a fool. Let's wait a day and let's go back. And he refused to meet with the people. When the people came back to him, he says, "V'lo shama melech alam." He refused to listen to the people at all, even when they came back and said, "Please, Ki hayse nesiba mimalkim. Part of this was a reasoning from God. L'man hakim Hashem ezavarosh yadivu yarech Yehu Ashiloni. So that whatever he had spoken in the hands of Achi Ashiloni, this would happen. Al Yoruv HaMinavah, Achi Ashiloni was the Navi of Klal Yisrael for Klal Yisrael at the time, not necessarily Yehuda. Achi Ashiloni was a tremendous tzaddik. They say that he was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. The years might be a little bit weird, but they say that he was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi, and he had given the Nebuah to Yoruv HaMinavah that he was going to be king. Even then, Yoruv HaMinavah said, I'm not necessarily going to become king. I'm willing to be second in command to Rechavim. I'm willing to do that. Once this happened, it was no longer.
Now, there is a logic behind saying, you know, come down strong. It's kind of like, you know, the first day of school, you want to establish order.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. But I think maybe perhaps the line that he used, the method by which he did it, by saying, I'm stronger than my... His father was king for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had an iron... He had the command of the entire people. He was the king. You know, he's not going to be able to step into his shoes on day one and be the same that his father was.
For sure. Yes, the Eladim were giving him advice. The problem was the outside factors. Yeravam was an outside factor that the Zakenim considered and the Eladim did not. And that was the real reason why. The real reason behind why this did not succeed is because the people were ready to get out.
So people knew about Yeravam.
I would assume so. I'm sure they did. How could you not? They knew about Sheva ben Bichri. They knew about Yoruv HaMinavah that he went to Mitzrayim. They must have known that he came back and that he was being sent to by the people. These are not dumb people. The Zakenim knew that something was up here and they wanted to keep Yoruvim out. It's sort of like, it makes sense that what the Zakenim were saying in this situation. All Bnei Yisrael saw that the king was not listening to David. What do we need a chelik in David HaMelech anymore? Lo nachlo ben Yishai. Isho alach Yisrael, go back to your tents, Bnei Yisrael. Atarei basically. David, look at your house, David. Everybody's going back to the house. And unfortunately, this was a major, major issue. Because it's not just David and Melech that they're rejecting. Re'e Beischa David. Look at your Beis HaMikdash, David. It's yours now. We don't want to have anything to do with that. If that's the way that the kings of Yehuda are going to be, we no longer want your house, your Beis HaMikdash. We're going to serve God in our own way. Which obviously was unbelievably wrong and halachically incorrect. But they were willing to take themselves back and say, we're not going to do what everybody else was doing over here, renouncing their share in the Beis HaMikdash itself, maybe even in God, which was horrible from what they did. Now, some people look at this and say, well, thank God we got rid of the thorns. Those people were evil in the first place. If they just walk away like that, right, then obviously they were not deserving of this in the first place, right? But nonetheless, look what happened to them. It's like crazy how fast they fell. Well, Bnei Yisrael, Yoshev Ar Yehuda, the Bnei Yisrael that were living in the cities of Yehuda, Rechavim ruled over them. Obviously not everyone left. Yeravam and Avad gave them choices. They were definitely, we know about Yehuda and Binyamin. But what's funny is Shevet Levi was for sure there as well. I know we call it the 10 tribes. But Shevet Levi for sure was with Rechavim. Maybe there were certain people from Shevet Levi that were outside, but it makes a lot of sense that Shevet Levi would have stayed. And not only that, Shimon's cities were in Yehuda's cities. Shimon lived among Yehuda. It's clear that Shimon must have been around as well. Here, the Chazal the Pasuk is telling us that other people from Bnei Yisrael joined as well. Every Shevet was represented in Yehuda's kingdom, just not very many of them. Vayishlach Melech Rechavim es Hadoyram, Asher Olamah, so he dispatched, he decided... Right, Rechavim's next move was, yeah, whatever, you guys are seceding, let's see what happens. He sends out his tax collector to do exactly that. Collect the taxes, take as much money as you can from the people, and bring it back to me. So he sent out Hadoram, right, Asher Lamas, who was in charge of the tax themselves, by Yirgamu Bo Yisrael Oven. And the Jews stoned him, by Amos, and he died. And the king Rechavim, who remember, was still in Shechem. He's in the land of Ephraim right now, not in his native land of Yehuda, had to immediately get in his chariot and flee to Yerushalayim, said he wouldn't be caught up in the coup that was going to happen over there. This was the issue over here. It was a foolish move. You know the people are upset. Why in the world would you send out Hadoram now without proper reinforcements? And that was the problem over there. Vayivshu Yisrael beveiz David ad yom hazeh. Bnei Yisrael sinned against the house of David up until that day. Now, it's interesting. The word Vayiv She'u is a very strange word. This was a nevuah. Yeravam ben Nevat got a nevuah from Achi Ashiloni that they were going to secede from the nation. Right? That was clear. There was more about this as well. This is not like they went around. But the problem was that they seceded for the wrong reasons. If you would secede because you said Yeravam is a better leader for us, that's one reason. But to reject the Beis HaMikdash and to reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, by doing this, that was the wrong move over here, and unfortunately, that's exactly what your Rebbe did. In Divrei Yamim, we don't go through Malchus Yisrael. We're not going to mention Malchus Yisrael unless it relates to Malchus Beis David in some way, shape, or form. In Malachim, it goes through how your Rebbe immediately caused huge, huge rifts among the people, created two golden calves, made his own Beis HaMikdash, was Boda Milibo, his own Chagim, one of them in Cheshvan itself, made up an extra Chag that he put together based on his coronation, etc. Lots of crazy things that Yerubim Ben Nevat did, right? But that's not mentioned in the Sefer
Divrei Yamim. Was it wrong to celebrate the anniversary of his coronation?
No, the problem was equating it to the Shlosh Regalim, taking down some of the others, and not allowing them to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Parak Yud Aleph, Vayavo Rechavim Yerushalayim, Yekin Yerushalayim, Yaakov, Beis Yehuda Ben Yamin, Meo Shmonu Elef, Bachur. He gathered together from Beis Yehuda Ben Yamin 180,000 young men, Osim Olchamu, all knew how to do war. That was a huge army. To return the entire kingdom together with Rechavim. He decided to wage war because he said, listen, I want to protect the family dynasty. I don't want to go down over here. He decided he's going to take them right now. They're still in their infant stages, Malchus Yisrael. They don't have a full army. They don't want to get together. I have the army. I have the generals. I'm ready to do it. The word of God came to Shmaya. Shmaya, the man of God, saying the following. Emor Rechavim ben Shlomo, say to Rechavim ben Shlomo Melch Yehudah. Notice, by the way, he's called Rechavim ben Shlomo. Your kingdom and everything great about you is because you're the son of Shlomo Melech. Thou call Yisrael Yehudah ben Yamin Lemor. Say it over to all ben Yisrael. Komar Hashem. Lo salu v'lo silochem u'yimachechem. Do not go up and wage war with your brothers. Shuvu ish lebeso. Go home. I caused this to happen by Yishmael's Divrei Hashem. They all listened to the word of God. Yashuvu milach Yeravam. They decided not to go against Yeravam. This was an unbelievable schus for Rechavam. The Rechavam listened to the Nevuah. Now, on the one hand, you say, like, well, of course you're going to listen to the Nevuah, right? Of course. But Rechavam must have seen that he had the ability at that point to literally destroy and decimate all of the Jews in Malchus Yisrael. He could have done it right then. And if he was given permission, or even without permission, he could have done everything just like that. But he said, I'm not going to do such a thing. If our Kaddish Baruch Hu told me not to do it, it's not the right thing to do right now.
Right, but there's a little kind of telling him that if you do it, you're going to lose. This is from Hashem.
He didn't say you're going to lose.
No, I know, but he's saying they're separating.
He's just telling you
don't. The fact that there's this new kingdom, that's from Hashem. So if it's from Hashem, it's...
Yeah, no, there's no question. There's no question. It just still is a schus that he did listen. And it says, Vayeshev Rechavim. Rechavim went exactly back. We are going to see, by the way, that the plan over here was to only have a secession for Bnei Yisrael to be seceded from Bnei Yehuda for 36 years. After 36 years, there was going to be an opportunity to take them back. And that opportunity, unfortunately, was lost, and we'll see what happens a little bit later on, by Rechavam's grandson, who was a tremendous tzaddik. It did not work out the way that everything had planned, but if everything would have worked out, then 36 years later, corresponding to the 36 years that Shlomo Melech was married to the daughter of Paro, they would have been brought back, there would have been a connection between them, and everything would have been perfectly fine over here. Okay, here we have over here, by Yeshu Rechavam, Rechavam went back to Yerushalayim, Yavan Arim Lematzor Yehuda. He made new sieging cities in Yehuda. In other words, he fortified the walls all over Yehuda. It used to be Yehuda didn't need such fortified walls because it was in the middle of all of Eretz Yisrael, and if an enemy wanted to come through, they'd have to get past all the other cities before they got to the cities of Yehuda itself, especially the ones in the middle. Now he's worried. Yisrael's right there. They're on the other side of the border. If they fight now, he doesn't have fortified cities in the middle. He's got a real issue. Vayivan Esbeis Lechem Ves, Eitam Ves, Tekoa Ves, Beis Tzur Ves, Socho Ves, Adulam Ves, Gasol, Mareisha Ves, Ziv Ves, Adorim, Adorayim Ves, Lachish Ves, Azek Ves, Tzor Ves, Ayalon, Ves, Chavron, Eshev Yehuda, Ben Yamin, Arim, Etzuros, all these siege cities, walled cities, by Chazakas Metzuros, strengthened them, made them negidim, and he made princes, Vaotzros, Machol, and storages of food, Vishem, and Yain, in case they get sieged. They need to have extra food and wine and whatever else they need in the city. The holy of Eir Tzinos Ramachim, he put shields and spears. Vayachazkim Harbim Odin, he strengthened them very much. Vayelo Yehuda ben Yamin, and Yehuda ben Yamin remained with him wherever he went. Vakwana Belevim Asher Bechol Yisrael, the Kwana Levim throughout all of Bnei Yisrael. Yisatz Vodav Echol Gvulam. They came to him from all their borders. Because again, they were working in the Beis HaMikdash. They were sitting there, and yes, they had their cities. But this is a tremendous amount of Mesiris Nefesh on their part. They had cities, they were living in the Ari Miklat throughout Klal Yisrael. And they had to give up their cities, they had to give up their homes. They had to give up everything they had and come to Yehuda and start all over. That was a huge amount of Mesiris Nefesh that the Kohanim and Levim did over here. Ki Ozo Levim is Migrashayim. They left their fields, Vachuzosim, and their land. Vayochel Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, they went to Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, ki is Nicham Yerubim Levanav Mechan L'Hashem, because Yerovam and his sons would not allow them to be Kohanim to Hashem in their new Avodah Zarah. In the base ale and the what's it called, the golden calves that he had, he refused to let Kohanim work. And he established other priests for himself, for the Bamos and all the goat gods that they had. Those are like fawns and satyrs. Satyrs or satyrs? Satyrs, I think they are. Right, but Golem Asher Asal, and for all the calves that he had made. Everybody else from the Shvatim Yisrael, if they gave paid attention, they wanted to search out Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Bal Yushlayim, to came to Yushlayim, is Bal Hashem Elokei Avoseim, to Shachtim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yachasko Es Malchus Yehuda, V'yamsu Es Rechavim, Ben Shlomo, L'shanim Shalosh. For 3 years, they strengthened the King of Yehuda, Kingdom of Yehuda, they made it very, very strong. Yehoko B'derach David, U'Shlomo, L'shanim Shalosh. For 3 years, they all worked together to make sure to be able to get this over here. It's so strange. Yerovam, I get what Yerovam's doing. He wants to get rid of hereditary, you know, assignment, where your father is the king, so you're the king. Said Yerovam, not so. The next best person is going to become the king. So too by Kohanim. Just because your dad's a Kohen doesn't mean you're a Kohen. We'll go with the best people at the time. I get the idea of what Yerovam was trying to do. It's just so strange that he banished them from the kingdom and that the people didn't rebel because of it. Well, it's very, very, very strange.
He pretty much said...
allowed them to go. Yeah.
What, right, well, didn't he put up guards so that they wouldn't go?
Eventually. Then he put up guards, and it's not yet. He allowed people to go if they wanted to now, but eventually he said, all right, nobody else is going. He allowed, like, maybe the first year or two, whatever it is, and people were able to get through right until the end. So now,
yeah, but the Kohanim and the Levim, he wasn't allowing them to serve. I mean, he wasn't allowing them to serve. He was telling them, now we have a Avodah Zarah, we don't go to the nation anymore. 100%. So they were saying, well, we're not Kohanim.
No, we're not listening to you. I would assume it was before Yerovam had his power, before he had full power, and he couldn't, like, you know, put his guards all over the land. That's when these Kohanim and Levim were able to get through. Let's finish off this paragraph. Ve'ikol Rechavim Isha. Rechavim chose a wife. Machlas Bas Yerimos Ben David. So this is Machlas Bas Yerimos, the son of David, who seems to be his first cousin, if we have it correctly, if this is the person that we have over here. Now, Radak says that Yerimos is not mentioned among all of David's sons, but it could be that there's another sort of person or something out there. Either way, regardless, Machlas would have been his first cousin. That would have been the person he married. Avihail Ben Eliav Ben Yishai. And so to Avihail, again, the likelihood is that he wanted to stay within the family. Since he knew it was a Davidic dynasty, it seems like he only wanted to marry within the family. Vatei lo banim, right? She bore him sons. Yeush, Shmaria, Zoham, Achare lo kachas, Macha, Bas Avshalom. And then he took Macha, Bas Avshalom. Vatei lo Zavia, Bas Atav, Ziza, Bas Shlomit. Right? That was that. Shlomit, by the way, is a man's name, not a girl's name, even though nowadays it is. Macha Bas Avshalom is a really interesting name as well. This is not the Avshalom, the brother, the son of David HaMelech. It's likely another Avshalom. Elsewhere, he's known as Avishalom. There is mentions of Avshalom in Gemara, Avi Hanan ben Avshalom. It's likely that it's because of this Avshalom, not the other one. But either way, but he took Macha, the daughter of Shalom, over here, and that also was going to be over here. There was somebody who was allowed. Now, that child, Avia, is going to be the next king of Klal Yisrael. He was not the oldest, and in fact, wasn't even the oldest, wasn't even from the first wife of Rechavam. Nonetheless, he was the most powerful. Yav Rechavam is Macha Bas Avshalom Mikol Nashav. He loved her more than everything else. Pilagshav and all of his concubines. Ki Nashon Shemon Esrei Nashav. He married 18 wives of Pilagshav Shishim, and he had 60 concubines. There is a machlokis between the Rambam and the Ravid whether or not a person is allowed to have 18 wives and concubines, and therefore Rechavam was wrong to do this over here, or if he's allowed to have 18 wives but as many concubines as he wants, and therefore he was allowed to do this. So was Rechavam right to do this, 18 and 60, or not right to do this? That's the machlokas. Vayolad Esrim Ushmona Banim Mishishim Banos, and he had 28 sons and 60 daughters.
Wasn't it from the fact that it says by David HaMelech, at the end of his life, he didn't...
marry Avishag. It seems like he can't have more than that, right?
More than 18 combined.
Yeah. But even so, that would be weird, because the Tempilagshim wasn't even able to be together with at that time, and Michal was probably dead, because Michal's daughters are already adopted by somebody else. So it seems like he didn't have 18 wives at the time. So it is interesting, the whole thing with Avishag. There's a lot on it.
He had other collection that the Torah doesn't tell us about in the interim.
It'd be interesting. It's possible that he added on. It says, "Vayamid l'rosh Rechavam es Avia ben Macha l'nagid." Rechavam decided to take Avia, the son of Macha, as the prince be'achov among his brothers, kilam licho. And that was a big problem. Obviously, you're not choosing the firstborn. That already happened by David HaMelech. It didn't work out well. And this was not a nevuah. This is not chosen by Nebuah. We'll just finish off this pasuk over here. Vayoven, vayifrot mikolbanav la'achar, atzos Yehuda ben Yamin. And he built up all of the lands, and he dispersed all of the children throughout. L'chol arei metzuros, vayitin lema mazon l'rovi, gave them a lot of food. Vayishal hamon nashim, and he gave them, sought out many wives for them. And he wanted to keep them happy. They weren't going to be king. But he wanted them to be happy and be sort of like, what do they call it? City king? What do they call it? Where a city is its own malchus. Whatever they call it. But like, he wanted to have many city-states. That's what he wanted. City-states around where everybody could take care of themselves and everybody was going to be there as well. He didn't want them to be dependent on Aviyah, who was going to be a little bit weaker. And he made sure that there would be around strengthening whatever it was. All right, guys, we'll stop with that for right now.